The title is Echoes of the Dust Trail. The epilogue. Pictures to me are split seconds of time. That being said, some hold memories and others have stories to share. An imagination can bring out what might be closer to the truth than one expects. This picture I took in Arizona is of the remnants of a corral used by truckers in the early days of livestock hauling. The trail is one to Denver from Arizona across the southeastern part of the state. After fences separated ranches and roads capable of carrying large trucks and livestock trailers emerged, these corrals were used to offload stressed-out livestock for the night. The speed of a large truck was low during this time, and the roads were rough, so these corrals were welcome places for both livestock and drivers. I hope you enjoy my version of events in this short story. So, follow along. See how they might have unfolded during one of the trips. 2 days earlier, when they first set out on their journey, the sun hung low over the red rock mesas of southern Utah, casting long shadows that stretched like weary fingers across the sun-baked earth. It was now late afternoon on day two, on a hot September day in 2025, and the air hummed with the faint buzz of cicadas, hidden in the sparse creosote bushes. Elena gripped the steering wheel of their rented Jeep, her knuckles whitening as the tires crunched over the rough gravel access road that run through a ghost town. This is what they encountered after the long trek from home in Salt Lake City to southeastern Arizona. Beside her, now reaching forward, her brother Marco fiddled with the Jeep's ancient cassette player, inserting one of the tapes he'd found in the glove compartment. The coarse warble of an old Johnny Cash tune was fighting against the wind whipping through the open windows. "Marco, will you please turn that darn thing off?" Elena demanded, her voice laced with the exhaustion of 2 days on the road. "It's giving me a headache. Anyway, we're not here for country music nostalgia. We're here to scatter Mom's ashes in that remote place she always talked about after she got dementia. Marco, tell me you remember why we're out here." "That corral, the one used by the livestock haulers, not far from the ghost town. You know what I'm talking about. She used to ramble on about it. It's the one from her grandpa's stories." Marco ejected the cassette with a click, the sudden silence amplifying the Jeep's rattle. He leaned back, squinting at the horizon where jagged sandstone cliffs clawed at the sky. "Yeah, yeah, I know. It's the old corral where the cattle whisperers stopped to breathe new life into stressed-out cows." She made it sound like some Wild West epic. "But Elena, look at this place. It's just empty. I swear it's like the bleached bones of a prospector's claim, staked and then swallowed by the sand." They crested a low rise and there it was, the lone corral, or what was left of it. Weathered saplings pointing up into an unforgiven sky, wooden posts splintered and leaning like drunken sentinels formed a ragged rectangle against the ochre soil. Barbed wire sagged between them, rusted into lace-like filigree, tangled with the skeletons of tumbleweeds. In the foreground, a sea of delicate pink flowers. Desert mallows, Elena guessed, then confirmed from her quick phone search, swayed gently, their petals a soft blush against the harsh terrain. Beyond the fence, boulders the size of small cars lay scattered as if tossed by some ancient giant's tantrum. A few straggly, stubborn junipers clung to the slopes, their needles whispering secrets to the breeze. Elena reached for the ignition and shut off the engine, and then they stepped out into the stillness. The corral gate hung crooked on one hinge, creaking faintly as if sighing in relief at their arrival. She pulled the urn from the back seat. It was a simple ceramic vessel etched with faded Navajo patterns, and cradled it like a sleeping child. Marco wandered ahead, kicking at a loose rock that skittered into the sparse underbrush. "Creepy, huh?" he called back, his voice echoing off the rocks. "Imagine loading up a truck full of bawling steers back in the 30s, or whenever it was, and driving these dirt roads at 20 miles an hour. No AC and no GPS. Just you, the dust, and a prayer that the engine doesn't seize." Elena followed along, her boots sinking into the sandy soil, which was dotted with wild grasses. She traced a finger along a post, feeling the rough grain softened by decades of sun and storms. Flakes of gray wood crumbled under her touch, releasing a faint scent of aged pine. "Marco, I know you remember. Mom said her grandpa was one of those livestock haulers. He did long hauls from the ranches in Arizona up to the feedlots in Colorado. They'd stop for the night, unload the stock into corrals and places like this to let them stretch and relieve stress. I guess offloading kept the animals from trampling each other in the trailers, or else going mad from the heat. Marco snorted while leaning against a post that wobbled precariously. He caught himself before falling into the corral. Yeah, and the drivers from keeling over. I bet they had stories, booze-fueled yarns, around a campfire right here. I can hear them now. Hey, Jed, did you ever lose a whole herd to a flash flood? Nah, but I once outran a dust devil while hauling a load of hogs, squealing like banshees. Helena, you know what I mean. Real crazy stuff. Like that. She smiled faintly, the image blooming in her mind like those pink flowers at her feet. Setting the urn on a flat boulder, Helena sat cross-legged in the dirt, the corral's remnants framing her like a faded photograph. The wind picked up, carrying the distant low of a cow from some far-off pasture, or was it her imagination? She looked up at her brother. Marco, do you think she really wanted this spot? Or was it just the romance of it? Maybe she just liked the idea of us laying her to rest where the old trails crossed. Marco shrugged, pulling a water bottle from his pack and taking a swig before offering it to her. Who knows? Mom was full of half-remembered tales. But look, it's perfect, quiet, timeless. It's like we're intruders in someone else's memory. As if on cue, the creak of the gate grew louder, though neither had touched it. Helena's breath caught, and for a heartbeat, the air shimmered. Or maybe it was the heat rising from the ground, playing tricks. But there, in the haze, she could almost see them, two figures emerging from the dust-choked road that snaked toward the corral. The outline of an old cattle truck also appeared with the two cowboys, their silhouettes sharp against the setting sun of another era. It was as if one of her mother's stories was about to come to life. She sat there mesmerized in her own thoughts. Then it was suddenly July 1932. The Dust Bowl winds howled like mournful ghosts across the high desert, whipping red grit into every crevice of the Ford truck's cab. Harlan wiped his brow with a bandana already stiff with sweat and soil, his calloused hand steering the beast of a vehicle toward the familiar outline of the corral. Beside him, his partner, Zeke, chewed on a toothpick, his eyes scanning the horizon for any sign of trouble. Coyotes, rustlers, or worse, the steam of a busted radiator in this godforsaken heat. In a few minutes, the corral came into sight. "Pull over here, Harl," Zeke grunted, spitting the toothpick out the window. "The cattle in back are getting restless and stomping up a storm. I reckon they've had enough of that tin slatted box for one day. If we don't let them out, we'll be hauling corned beef by morning." Harlan nodded, easing the truck to a halt with a groan of brakes and springs. The engine coughed its last for the day after he backed to the gate and killed the ignition. Steam was hissing from under the hood like an angry kettle. Harlan hopped down, his boots thudding into the parched earth. They were just a few miles from their destination outside of Durango with one more day to go. He knew rested livestock always brought a better price at feedlots. The corral spread out behind the rig, ready, its posts standing defiant against the wind, though a few had already surrendered, toppled by winter storms or careless hooves. Pink wildflowers nodded in clusters along the fence line, a rare splash of color in the monochrome world of rock and dust. Zeke was already at the rear, wrestling with the latches on the livestock trailer. He stepped back with the gate handle in his gloved hand. "Easy now. You big lugs," he muttered as the gate swung open. A wave of lowing cattle surged forth, their hooves hammering like distant thunder against the metal ramp. They spilled into the corral in a chaotic ballet, brindled hides rubbing shoulders, horns clacking in warning. One steer, a massive Angus with a white blaze on his forehead, paused at the gate, eyeing Zeke with what seemed like suspicion. Harlan spoke after joining Zeke at the fence. "You see that one there at the gate? The one giving you the evil eye?" The owner called him Thunderhead. Harlan looped a coil of rope over a post to reinforce the sagging wire, his muscles aching from the day's drive. Picked him up from the old man at the Garrett spread down near Tucson. Mean as a rattler, but he'll fetch top dollar at the yards in Denver. Zeke chuckled. It was a dry rumble that cut through the cattle's murmurs. He pulled a tin of tobacco from his vest pocket, rolling a cigarette with practiced fingers. Top dollar, ha! If we make it there without losing half the herd to this devil wind, at least there's no storm brewing. Remember that run last spring? We lost 3 to a washout near Page. The boss docked us nearly a month's pay, said it was poor judging of the weather. As if any man can judge a storm that sneaks up like a thief. Harlan leaned on the fence, watching the cattle settle. Some nosed at the sparse grass, others stood shoulder to shoulder, their breath sinking in a rhythmic huff. The corral held them like a loose embrace, enough to roam, not enough to bolt. With any luck at all, they were a day's drive from Denver, and this is the last corral needed before delivering the load. Overhead, a hawk circled lazily, its shadow flickering across the flowers like a fleeting memory. Yeah, poor judging. On the driver's part, Harlan echoed, shaking his head. Ain't it always? Pa used to say hauling stock was half skill, half prayer. You pray the roads stay dry, the trucks don't cough out, and the critters don't take a notion to jump the fence at midnight. He paused, glancing at Zeke. You ever think about quitting? Settling down somewhere green? Maybe that little farm your sister keeps nagging about in Nebraska? Zeke lit his smoke, the match flaring brief and bright. He exhaled a plume that twisted away on the breeze. Quit and do what? Grow corn? Nah, Harl, this here's freedom. You and me, the open trail, a paycheck that don't ask questions. Besides, who'd keep you from driving us into a canyon? You're the only fool, stubborn enough to believe we can outrun any dust devil out here on the trail. The two men fell quiet then. The corral's creaks, and the cattle's soft moos filling the void. Harlan pulled a flask from his hip pocket, whiskey warm from the unforgiving heat of the day. He took a long swig and passed it over. Zeke took a pull, then handed it back with a grin after lifting it up in a toasting gesture. To the trail, Harl, and to corrals like this one, holding it all together even when the world's fallen apart. As dusk deepened, they built a small fire in the lee of the truck. Sparks dancing like fireflies against the cooling sky. Stories unfurled around the flames, tall tales of ghost riders on the old Spanish trail, narrow escapes from flash floods, and the one time Zeke swore a cow had whispered his name in the dead of night. Laughter mingled with the crackle of mesquite, and for a few hours the corral wasn't just a stop, it was home, etched into the desert's unyielding memory. Back in the present, Elena blinked. The vision, or whatever it was, fading like smoke. The wind had died down, leaving only the rustle of flowers against the fence. Marco sat beside her now, oblivious, sketching idly in the dirt with a stick before looking in her direction. Are you okay? Did you just zone out there for a sec? You look like you've seen ghosts. She handed him the urn, her fingers lingering on its cool surface. Maybe I was. It's just mom stories. They feel alive here, like the wood in these posts soaked it all up, the sweat, the curses, the dreams. Did you not feel it? Together they unscrewed the lid, turned the urn over, and watched a fine powder of ash catching the last rays of sun as it swirled into the air, settling like dust on the pink petals. Marco raised an imaginary glass. Here's to you, Mom, your grandpa, and all the livestock haulers. Into whatever comes next on this damn trail. Elena nodded, the corral's shadows lengthening around them. But as the stars began to prick the twilight sky, she couldn't shake the feeling that the gate had creaked one last time, not in farewell, but in invitation. There were more stories here, buried in the rocks and roots, waiting for the right wind to unearth them. And maybe, just maybe, they'd come back to listen.